I greet you in Christ's name this morning. God is good, Betty. All the time, God is good. Amen. Thank you, sister, for sharing with us this morning. It's great to see how God is working in your life and continuing to heal you, and we will pray that continues. Struggled a little bit with the sermon this morning, and you can read a text 100 times, and it doesn't always come to you the way you think it should. So you pray and you study and God helps you, and then you get stuck again and you pray and he helps you again. So I've kind of battled my way through this sermon, but God has been good, and I pray that this morning he can use my imperfections for his honor and glory. Let's start by reading the text this morning. The text is James chapter 1. We will be reading verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is righteous and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So in this opening here, it says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We need to listen twice as much as we speak. Of any part of the body, the tongue is the one that gets us in trouble the most. And in chapter 3 of James, he speaks more about taming the tongue. And that's another sermon that we're going to look at later on. But our main focus this morning is on those hearing God's word and what we're going to do with what we hear. Hearing and doing. But leading up to this passage, James has some good instructions for us starting here in verse 19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Starting with one being quick to hear. What happens when we listen? We gain understanding. We think of a student as they listen to their teacher. They gain understanding. We think of the disciples and the large crowds of people as they listened to Jesus as he spoke. They grew in understanding of who Christ was and what Christ wanted from them. Luke 11:28, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So when you go to church or you go to a Bible study, you listen to God's word. And not only do you listen to it, but you keep it. You obey it. You apply it to your life. And I will speak more to that in a second, but sometimes we hear scripture so often that it just kind of blows right past us. We've heard that verse so many times, it has no meaning to us at all. But it's not until we go through a real life situation, a real life circumstance, that we can fully understand what that scripture fully means. It might be a death of a loved one, or you all of a sudden you see the text in a new life that you've never seen it before. And we can all relate to that. Second of all, we're called to be slow to speak. Has anybody said anything they immediately regret saying? You know, God gave us 2 ears and he gave us 1 mouth. He also gave us teeth, and the teeth are to bite your tongue. Has anyone had to bite their tongue? I know I have. You're in a situation where somebody offends you, and you all of a sudden get angry, and you want to lash out and put that person in their place, but you know better. You bite your tongue because you know that regret follows right after that. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. So we need to be slow to speak. We're also called to be slow to anger. Anger in itself is a form of selfishness. When you become angry, you may become angry because something didn't quite go the way you wanted it to. Or you might use your anger to manipulate others to what you want, to your own benefit. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. And again in Proverbs 29:11, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. But most importantly, we do not express anger because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, as we see there in verse 20. If we are ambassadors of Christ, anger must not be a part of our lives. Our lives are a living testimony to those we rub shoulders with each and every day. And if we live lives that are fueled with anger and rage, they have no reason to believe we are who we say we are. Moving along to verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So what is the therefore? Well, knowing that we are slow to hear, we are quick to speak, and we're quick to become angry, therefore we need to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And we need to get into the word. And it says here the implanted word. This idea of the word being implanted in us, it's our inner being. The word is working in us from the inside, working out. And if this word is implanted in us, we study it. We have our daily devotions. We're in the word. That doesn't mean we're content with reading the Bible once a week. If you can't say amen, you got to say ouch. The word is in us. It is a part of us. Deuteronomy 30:14, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. And in Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their heart. So the word is the living word. The word is living within each and every one of us. Thy word hath I hid in my heart. So in the next verse 22, we get to more of the meat of the sermon, hearing and doing. But before I get into that, I want to look at a parallel passage, and that's going to be Matthew chapter 7. And it's the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. And this parable is kind of the bookend of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ had given a lot of parables, but this is the last one to kind of to sum up. And in the audience, you'll have the religious elite, the Pharisees and the scribes. And so he's basically drawing a dividing line between Christ and the religious establishment. 7:24 in Matthew. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Christ is trying to tell those listening that they could either obey his words and put them into practice, and that is the doer of the word. And this is building your house on the rock. The big rock, like Schuyler preached about last Sunday, the solid rock, Christ our Savior. Or they could listen to his words and do nothing. This is the hearer only. Building their house on the sand, the surface righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And what do I mean by that? Around the Sea of Galilee, there was sand surface, and the sand was like a hard crust. But a master builder knew that that hard crust was just a false top, if you will. He had to dig down past the hard surface, past the soft sand, and down into the hard bedrock, the foundation. So when this house that was built on the sand was tested, it failed because there was nothing underneath it. What they thought was a hard surface was just a hard crust of sand. And just like the religion of the scribes and Pharisees, it was empty and gave way. This brings us to the main text, which is 22 through 25, and I want to read that again. But he who does the word, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So let's talk about the hearer of the word. Being a hearer is not a bad thing. It is hearing and doing nothing with what you heard that does not glorify God. The idea of looking at oneself in a mirror is an analogy of us looking at ourselves in the light of Scripture as being a hearer but not a doer. And after we size ourselves up, we walk away from the mirror and immediately forget what we saw, not changing a thing about ourselves. The ladies here probably spend a lot more time than us men in front of the mirror, and that's why on the way to church, our wives are constantly fixing our faces. There might be an alfalfa rooster tail that's getting patted down or toothpaste in the corner of the mouth. Whatever it may be, us men just take a quick glance. We might be just brushing our teeth. We make a quick glance and we're out the door. We're gone. We immediately forget what we looked like and how we're presenting ourselves to the public. The hearer is one who hears the word of God preached and leaves the building living the same old life, not changing anything in his life. He is a hearer only. There is no change. They keep walking around looking like they just crawled out of bed. They do not remember what they looked like back in the mirror. And I tried to come up with an analogy to better describe this. The hearer is like a college student who goes to college, takes out a student loan, and after 8 years of schooling, he gains all kinds of knowledge and understanding, and he receives his doctorate, gets his diploma, and he hammers it up on the wall of his rented apartment. And then he goes to work at McDonald's for the next 30 years, paying off his student debt. Now, that might be a ridiculous hypothetical, but we do worse than that. We take the precious word of God, we hear it on a Sunday morning, it has all these truths, all these goodness that we can apply to our lives, then we go throughout the week, and we don't use a single one of those things. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but we're all guilty of it. We hear the truth of God, and we don't apply it to our lives. We listen, we hear, we sing, we study the Bible. Then we turn around not doing the things that Scripture commands us. There is a deception that takes place as a hearer only. James tells us these people deceive themselves in verse 22. They believe they are living the Christian life. They believe they are faithful disciples. They believe they have been truly born again. However, the truth is they are hearers only. They have a dead faith. They are the seeds sown among thorns, as we read in Matthew 13:22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Charles Spurgeon said, "I fear we have many such in all congregations, admiring hearers, affectionate hearers, attached hearers, but all the while unblessed hearers, because they are not doers of the word." We need to be hearers and doers. Not just a doer of the word, but also doers of the work that is required of us. Next, let's talk about the doer. The doer is one who looks into the perfect law, and this is the law made new in Christ Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the old law. One not being a doer who forgets, but a doer who acts, verse 25. Romans 2:13 says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." James says, "Hearing is not enough. You've got to be doing the word of God. There has to be practical application of the word. There has to be obedience to his commandments." In the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go work in my vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he said, "I go, sir, but did not go." "Which of the two did the will of the father?" they said. "The first," Jesus said to them. "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him." The fruit of one's life ultimately proves whether or not a man is obedient to God's word. So what is a doer? A doer is one who takes God's word at face value. He doesn't live a life of self, but rather lives a life of service to God. We are to be living sacrifices, as it says in Romans. Doers make their calling and election sure. He knows where he stands before God. As a doer, we are the seed sown in the good soil. Matthew 13 again. "As for the one who has sown, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Doers are ones who live a life that bears good fruit. Verse 26, "If anyone thinks he is righteous," so James has given us instructions here. He says what a hearer is and what a doer is, but he says be careful. If you think you are a religious and a righteous person, if you are a righteous doer of the word, be careful. James says, "Not so fast. If one thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue," and this is what we also see in verse 19 as one being slow to speak. And this idea of a bridle is one of being pulling back. You think of pulling back on a horse, keeping it from lunging forward. If you cannot do this, your religion is useless. So what then is a worthy religion? He says in verse 27, "Visit orphans and widows and keep yourself unstained from the world." Notice that he's not calling us to theological seminary, but is to care and serve for those who cannot care for themselves. In other words, we are to love one another. What is the second greatest commandment? To love thy neighbor as thyself. It's this idea of selflessness. In closing, I encourage you to take a hard look at your life. What makes you think you are a child of God? Is it the knowledge you have? Is it your membership or the titles you wear? Is it your reputation? Is it your good deeds trying to be the doer of the word? You can have all of these things and still be a child of the devil. You are like whitewashed tombs, as it says in Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. To be a child of God, you must trust and follow Jesus Christ. You must be a hearer and a doer of his word, of his commandments. His shame is your shame. His cross is your cross. And his mission is your mission. Let us go from here being hearers and doers, not for personal gain, but for the honor and glory of God. Let us have a song.